We rejoice to be able to go through the Psalms. The Psalm for today is Psalm 81. Psalm 81, a postcard from home. Let's stand, and I'll read Psalm 81. Honey from the rock, Jesus himself and his blessings. Hear God's word, his holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Psalm 81, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Strike the timbrel, the sweet-sounding lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. He established it for a testimony in Joseph when he went throughout the land of Egypt. I heard a language that I did not know. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use this passage in the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives and to bind us close to you, to prepare us to be called back when we stray, and if we are straying right now, that you would call us back right now, this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Honey from the rock. If you have the outline there and the children's and everybody's helper, sermon helper page, you could, if you're working on that, you can shade in. Jesus is my rock. That's 1 Corinthians 10:4. And then you've got the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. A pile of sand there by the rock as the storm came down. And hopefully the children can maybe remember Psalm 81, remember this morning anyway, with regard to thinking about building your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise man built his house on the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The house stood firm. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The rains came down, and storms came up. And the house on the sand went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing shall come down. The blessing shall come down as the prayers go up. The blessings shall come down as your prayers go up. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord. If you are seeking the pleasures and treasures of the world, if that's where you're headed, if that's what you're focusing on, you are headed into a dead end street. And you think you don't need Jesus. But if you're after Jesus, if the direction is Jesus, then you will live not necessarily with treasures. He may give you treasures, he may not. Not necessarily wonderful pleasures. He may give you the joy of eating peanut butter and or jelly or not. He may give you a diamond. He may give you pearls. He may give you absolute poverty. He may have you in jail, as he has done many of his people. But you will have direction and you will have purpose and you will have fulfillment in your life and you will have adventure and you will have security and you will have success, as success is described in Joshua 1:8. Success with the Lord. Not worldly success, but success that when you lie down to die at the end, you're going to praise the Lord for what he has done in your life and you'll give him all the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. That is, in the desert when they came out of Israel. And the rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Psalm 81 is a postcard from home. It's not a postcard from the edge, but it's a postcard to the edge. What do most postcards say? Wish. You know the other three words? You were here. I think that's what most postcards say. Wish you were here. If you are at home today, that is, if you're living in the Lord and worshiping him and seeking to live for him, if you're at home, then the Lord is saying in Psalm 81, I'm so glad you're here. Let's rejoice together, verses 1 through 5. There is no, the postcard to you is, there is no place like home. And I'm here, and you're here, and we'll celebrate. And that's what we do every first day of the week. And many other times during the week as you rejoice in him. There's no place like home. If you have walked out the door and you've gone away from the Lord, then this is sending Psalm 81 into your heart. Come home. Come home. There really is no place like home. Jesus is saying, my home, your home that I built for you, our home. I miss you. The Lord is saying, sending you the postcard of Psalm 81. I miss you. Wish you were here. I've said that you could remember the trouble of Psalm 77 by thinking of the murder of highway patrolman John Clinton on the side of the fairly new I-77 in Chester County. Ruth and I have a daughter, Clara, who is married to Brooks, who grew up in Salem, Virginia, on a hill almost overlooking Interstate 81 near Roanoke. I think that living in that beautiful country and having a mountain cabin up in that area, like Buchanan, as Cloud Carolyn had a cabin there, with the Peaks of Otter and VMI and the Breaks Interstate Park and Stonewall Jackson Territory, and thinking about Jeb Stuart and his cavalry, Washington University, now Washington and Lee, the site where Traveler is buried standing up, Natural Bridge, the route home back to South Carolina, when South Carolina senior classes used to take trips to Washington, D.C. You'd come down 81, Shenandoah Caverns, New Market Battlefield, Mount Jackson, Spotswood, named for a governor related to Ruth, Martinsville, where Ruth was born, not far from Roanoke and Salem. Maybe a lovely, beautiful area of Virginia, That Interstate 81 corridor, to visit maybe slowly and thoughtfully in retirement or sometime. Well, think about your living in the Shenandoah Valley. Think about your living at home with your parents there, maybe grandparents, near I-81. Then think about leaving that place, the fellowship and the life of home and family, and walking away. This is what a large part of Psalm 81 is about. Think about getting a postcard from your mother, who is very happy at home in most ways, except that she writes to you wherever you have roamed, and she says, I would that you were here. That's the phrase out of Psalm 81. I would that you were here. Come home. And so Psalm 81 says that to you. Come home, come home. All who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly. Almost like a note written on a postcard from your mom. Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. Psalm 81 verses 1 through 5 describe normal life at home. Every Lord's Day morning, the Lord ushers you into the wide open doors of his throne room. He is the usher at the door. He's the doorman. He's the great deacon. He's a great deacon from Philippians 2 anyway, but he's the great deacon, holds the door for you as you come in to worship him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Verses 1 through 5, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, strike the timbrel, the sweet sounding lyre and the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon. Now, this does not mean blow the trumpet. It's not, you know, howl at the moon, shoot out the light. That's not what this is talking about. This is when the time came for special celebrations, especially the seventh month and the first month, noting that the new moon had risen or the full moon had risen, which it always did right at the time you took the Passover. These special times, it's saying rejoice because your firstborn was not killed, that you were taken out of Egypt and you were led safely through this Red Sea and you've been given the promised land. So at the time of the new moon, at the feast day, at the full moon, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. It's a statute for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. He established it for a testimony in Joseph when he went throughout the land of Egypt. And then he says, I heard a language that I did not know. The Lord is so closely identified with his people in slavery in Egypt that it is as if he didn't know Egyptian. Of course, the Lord knew Egyptian. But he identified with them to that extent. In the Old Testament, the people of God particularly celebrated release from bondage in Egypt, to slavery in Egypt. Now, in the light of the New Testament, the people of God celebrate our release from the bondage of slavery to sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing for joy. Verses 1 through 5. We have reason to sing for joy. Our new moon ceremony, our full moon ceremony, our feast day ceremony is every single week. We don't have to wait for a moon to arise to tell us we've started another month. It's the first day of every week. It's easy to tell where it is. The Lord has established it as a testimony among all of us believers around the world. Trumpets and harps and timbrels and rejoicing. Mandolins and banjos and stand-up basses. We rejoice. We rejoice every Sunday in the God of our salvation. That's the normal life of a Christian. There is no place like home. And what's at the heart of what we do here? With hearts of praise and thanksgiving, we remember the rescue. Verses 6 and 7. This is a testimony of the Lord speaking to the Old Testament believers. It applies to us as well. I, God speaking, it's a quote from God. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. His hands were freed from the basket, which is probably what they used instead of having a wheelbarrow, a basket. You called in trouble, and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. And then it says, I proved you at the waters of Meribah. I went with you after you came out, and then there was these terrible tests that you failed. But think about it. Selah. The rescue. Think about your rescue. As I asked the children before the session, didn't ask them before you to say, What do you remember about when you accepted Jesus as Savior? In church, at Blessed Hope, at home, at a meal, kneeling beside your bed with your mother and or your father? Well, what about you? Your rescue. Think about your rescue. That's what we focus on every Lord's Day, what he has done. Think about it. Pause and consider. Jesus saves. Jesus saved you, did he not? Well, what if you are straying? You see the postcard in your mailbox as you struggle to get out to the edge. Is it possible that you get a postcard postmarked in heaven? Is it possible? It's written in blood. Is it possible? There are teardrops smearing the blood. What does it say? It says, come home. Come home. I know you are weary. Come home. I am out where you are anyway. But there is no place. There is no place like home. The Lord says, I am well acquainted with the edges out there. Go as far as you like. Heaven, Sheol, wherever it is, Psalm 139, the farthest part of the sea. I am there. I'm there. But I want you home. State song of Florida since 1913. Way down upon the Suwannee River, far, far, far away, there's where my heart is turning ever. All up and down the whole creation, sadly I roam, still longing for my childhood station and the old folks at home. Verses 8 and 9 and 10. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel. If you would listen to me, let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God. You remember that's how he starts out the Ten Commandments? He establishes who he is. This is the way you did a covenant back then. It's the way you do a covenant now with the Lord. He initiates it. We respond. I, the Lord, am your God. Therefore, obey me, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I rescued you, and you are mine. If you're out there on your own seeking yourself, then you're going against the first great commandment and the second great commandment. The first great commandment is outward pointed to God. The second great commandment is outward pointed toward your fellow men. Don't make yourself your own God. Don't plan to do what you say. Don't be true. Do not seek to be true to your fallen self. Be true to the God who made you, the way you are. Don't find out who you are and who you have been. Find out what God wants you to be. On the wall behind you there, on the outside of that wall, yesterday there was a butterfly coming out of its cocoon, a type of skipper. I've never seen the kind of butterfly before. But all day long, morning and afternoon, and I didn't check at night, I should have, it didn't go anywhere. It had gotten out, and it kept its wings folded, hanging onto the cocoon. I don't even know whether the cocoon's still out there. I don't know if the butterfly's still out there. Haven't looked this morning. But it stayed there, but there was a plan for its life. The Lord had a plan for its life. The Lord has a plan for your life. No matter what your age is, older, middle-aged, younger, don't seek to go inside and find out who I am so that I can be a bigger sinner, but see what the Lord wants you to do to spread your wings. It is an adventure. And it's a great adventure. Look what he says. Open your mouth wide and I would fill it. What could be more exciting? The Lord working in your life. Your personal trainer, the Holy Spirit, to make you godly. To make you more like Christ. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Sort of an echo of Psalm 81. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Rebellion, verses 11 and 12. Here is the horror of Psalm 81. It's parallel to Paul's Romans 1. If you really want to rebel and run away from God, not walk in his ways as Psalm 1 describes, but you want to go your own way, the horrible truth is he may say yes. If that's what you want, to go your own way, he may give you over to the stubbornness of your own selfish heart. If you don't want to walk in his ways, he may simply allow you to get what you think you want, to walk in your own devices. Verse 11, but my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over, I gave them over. He answered their prayers. I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Do you have the courage to turn to Romans 1 and read it? Do I have the courage to read it out loud? Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Lusts of their hearts to impurity. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Have you ever seen that accomplished? Who is blessed forever? Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of the error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over, this is all echoes of Psalm 81, to a depraved mind, so that to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, evil, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient. Do you think that's a fun life? Do you think you'll enjoy being out there in the edge? It's dark out there. It's evil out there. And if that's what you want and you're setting your mind on it, he may for a period of time let you go, but there's no place like home. And he sends you this postcard to the edge and says, come home. I'm looking. I'm sitting on my porch and I'm watching the exit to Interstate 81 to see when it is you pull off that interstate and head home. And I'll run to meet you and I'll welcome you and I will celebrate when you get, and I'll get all my friends together and all the family together and we'll rejoice in you. It's the Lord's loving heart. His longing heart, with honey from the rock, and that's Jesus, I would satisfy you. The Lord wants you to have what is best for you. The Lord has his blessing stored up for you. He longs for you to be his loving and obedient child. Obey him. Is that word taboo? Should I not be allowed to say it? Obey the Lord your God. Not self-actualization, not self-awareness, not self-definition, not self-love, not no boundaries, no borders, no telling me no, self-authority, that there should be no authority above me. I will not obey traffic laws. I will not obey legal authority. I will not obey the one who speaks to me in the name of the law. I am my own hero. I am my own deviser of reality. Although when I sit and think quietly about it, I know that I am a sham. I don't play well with others, and I don't play the part of God very well. no matter how loud I speak on my own behalf. Give me an idea of what's taboo, and I will head toward it. If God says, I am the creator, we say, no, you're not. You have been replaced in our thinking by a theory we call evolution. If God says you are male, I say I am not. If God says everyone is either male or female, I created man in my own image. In my own image, I created them. Male and female created I them. And we say, oh no, we have created many other categories. You do not have a right to speak in our presence. God, you must put a bandana around your mouth. No. Psalm 81 has a message for us. Verse 12, so I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Mr. Spurgeon says, no punishment is so just or so severe as this. He says, it were better to be given over to lions than to our own heart's lusts. They were eating and drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them, according to 1 Corinthians 10, and that rock was Christ. Wide open invitation. The Lord wants you back. He longs for you. Can you not see that toward the end of Psalm 81? He wants you to grow up. He wants you to know the joy of loving obedience, of following his revealed definition of who you are, warped and worn, but chosen and loved and raised up and awakened in Christ, adopted into the family of God with Jesus as your elder brother. It's not anything you did. He made you, and he made you valuable. He made you priceless, and he paid the price on the cross. Verse 13. Oh, that my people, oh, that. Can you hear that? That, oh, that. There are different ways to translate it, but it has that emphasis. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. He's talked about my people in Israel just above that. Now he says, oh, that they would come home. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would, if you came home, if you came to me, if you listened to me, if you walked in my ways, and not in your own ways. I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. It's like the longing heart of your mother calling for you to come home. It's like a mountain mama sitting on the rock or on the front porch, writing you that she sits waiting for you to come home. Country roads, take me home. Gospel, bring me home. The way of Jesus, bring me home. If you reject him, you're unfaithful, you're unloving, you're unappreciative, you're unthankful, you're hard-hearted, you're stiff-necked. Do you realize that the two greatest commandments both point outside yourself? Obey them. Give yourself to God first, and then to others. You've been through the Red Sea, have you not? The Red Sea of Christ's blood. You belong at home with him. If you're there this morning, praise the Lord. Concentrate on verses 1 through 5. And if you want to live by your own devices and can't wait to get out there to the edge, take this postcard with you, written in Jesus' blood. Stick it in your wallet. Stick it in your pocketbook. And when you get to the place that the prodigal son got to, and you finally come to yourself, take it out and read it. And come home to Jesus. And he will feed you with honey from the rock that is Jesus.